Very good. So over the last few weeks, as we've been saying, we've been looking at the life of Abraham. And today we have a birth to celebrate, not just Tarjan and Sujata, and the birth of Sarah. Is it Sarah? There we go. There's a bit of symmetry going on here, isn't there? But the birth of Isaac. We come to a sort of a momentous point, if you like, the point of the promise that we've been looking at coming to fruition. I mean, interestingly, as we look at the passage, we're also going to see how God looks out for those who aren't necessarily of the faith, not loved, and such like. And most importantly, we're going to look at the fulfillment of God's long-term and long-held promise. Now, one technical issue today, I've done lots of slides, and our remote isn't working. So this remote, when I do that, you don't need to do it yet, actually. It's going to magically go to Neil, and he's going to press it on. So I've done lots of animations, but we'll see how we get on. But most important, let's start by looking at the passage together. Genesis chapter 21. If you have a Bible, if you want a Bible and haven't got one, you can raise a hand and one may be magically placed. So Genesis chapter 21 and verses 1 to 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave him the name Isaac, and to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly, because it concerned his son. But God said to him, don't be so distressed about the boy or your maid and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. So early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. She sent them on her, he set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with her boy, and she went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away. For she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. So according to this passage, we are not only celebrating a birthday, we are celebrating a birthday. We're told that Abraham was 100 years old. I have to say, was he really 100 years old? Was Noah really 950 when he died? I don't know. I'm not a scholar. I think we do know that these books were written by Moses, who was, maybe written by Moses sort of many, many years later. And to my mind, it's not important the actual age of Abraham at this point in time. What is the important thing is what we are learning from the passage and the promise that comes to fruition. But I guess we do, as we have been working through, get that Sarah and Abraham were both beyond what normal childbearing age would have been. And I thought, you know, we talk about the life of Abraham in the series, but this is very much about Isaac and the promise today. But I thought we'd just do a little recap of where we've come from over the last few weeks. And to do that, I want everyone to take part. So you need a prop for this. So if you could just take your thumb and hold your thumb out in front of you like that, that would be really useful. Can I see thumbs? In fact, can we put the Zoom guys on as well? Is that okay? Right, people on Zoom, you are in a second. Now on screen, very good. Can we see your thumbs coming out? You can take part in this as well. It's lovely to see you all. By those, Morris, it's lovely to see that you're back home and hope that you're doing well. We can see Morris's lampshade, which we see every house group there. So it's lovely to see everyone, whether they're in the building or whatever. Right, so your thumbs are out. That's thumbs up. If you turn them around that way, that's thumbs down. There we go. You can put them down for a second. And on Zoom, if you want to, you can use your reactions to go thumbs up and thumbs down. So I've just got a few. There's a lot more than this, but just a few. In fact, Neil, I think we're going to have to go back to the off-Zoom now. So this is a few of the passages, a few of the readings. And what I want us to do is, after each one, just give a little thumbs up, whether this is Abraham showing faith, or a thumbs down if it's Abraham showing some folly and lack of wisdom. So the first one, if we can flick on past, I didn't press the buttons for these ones, just go past. We're looking at baby, we're looking at some sadness, and we're looking at God's promise, and click the button, there we go. We've got the story so far, very good. Next one, and next one, thumbs up, thumbs down, and the next one, very good. Right, so we're going right back to chapter 12, when we first meet Abraham, or Abraham at the time. And the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless them. And so Abraham went as the Lord told him. So is that a thumbs up? Did he follow God? Very good. Well, we all assume on Zoom you're following us there. Maybe it's going to take too long if we flick back and forth each time. I don't know. Thumbs up on Zoom or thumbs down? Thumbs up. Very good. Okay, let's go to the next one, Neil, if you could. Still in chapter 12, in fact, sort of almost right after. There was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to live there, to Egypt for a while because of this famine. And he said to Sarai, basically, and we had it the same last week with Abimelech, didn't we? Tell them that you're not my wife. Tell them you're my sister so that they don't kill me. So, you know, he's got this promise, hasn't he? What God's going to do. Oh, look, we've got lots of thumbs down in the room. Very good. So that probably wasn't one of his greater moments. And he did the same with Abimelech, didn't he, a little while later. So let's flick on to the next one in chapter 14. So we've sort of gone and he went with Lot. He sent Lot off. They were very rich. Basically, they had too many cows for the land. So they sort of, he sent Lot off to a different land and such like. And Sodom was all involved in this. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, and I don't think he's a particularly good guy, this king of Sodom, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham said, with raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. And I guess, for my mind, this is where he's sort of saying, I serve God. I'm not going to be a master to you, and therefore I'm not going to accept gifts from you, so you've got something over me. I serve God. So what are we thinking? Thumbs up. Good guy. Very good. Well done. Okay. Next one. Chapter 15. A very famous verse. So he took him outside. God took him outside and he said, look up at the skies and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Okay, I think we're probably going for a thumbs up on that one. Just a couple more. An interesting one, this one, chapter 16. So now Sarai, there's still Sarai and Abraham at this time, had borne no children, although they had the promise. And she said, well, I've got this Egyptian slave named Hagar. And she said, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. And they had a child. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of culture in the time and everything else. And I'm sure there's an awful lot of discussion, but it didn't really feel like part of God's plan, did it? Okay. And the last one. In fact, we go to today's chapter now. Chapter 21. So the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and they had Isaac was born, and Abraham gave him the name Isaac, which he'd been told to do so by God previously. And when Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, and again God had told Abraham, as I think Ian spoke about some weeks ago, to circumcise all man, and he did as God commanded. So who's obedient to God in this? So are we going for a thumbs up or a thumbs down on Zoom? What are we doing? Very good. Oh, very good. We'll take you off screen now, and we'll leave you off screen for the rest of the service. So very good. So overall, what do we reckon? Abraham, you know, we know of Abraham, don't we, in the New Testament as a man of faith. In fact, on Tuesday evening at our time of prayer, Danny read a passage which was really talking about, I think, perseverance of running the race, but you know, talking about Abraham, and is so often spoken about as a man of faith. And so we get to this passage today, and it's about the birth of Isaac. That's what our title is. But do you know the thing that really caught my eye as I was reading this? Maybe it's because of the last bit that I read, and I've got a bad memory and I can't remember things at the start. But it was about the plight of Hagar and Ishmael. You know, we're going to come back in a bit to the promise and to Isaac. But I think they got a pretty raw deal. You know, we just get a snapshot of Sarah. So maybe she was the nicest person ever. But the snapshot that we are given is basically Sarah sort of saying, well, I'm not having children here. You sleep with my maidservant. As soon as she had the baby, Hagar had the baby, there was a lot of jealousy, and Sarah sort of kicked them out. And yeah, I just sort of, I guess, was reading this, and really my heart was going out to Ishmael and to Hagar. And I guess it was never going to end well, was it? Because the birthright was everything. And we see in the passage Sarah saying that there is no way that this boy is going to get the birthright or the inheritance of my son Isaac. And he was of a different race. He was now probably he was a young man, wasn't he? He was sort of, I think, in 13, 14 years old, something like that. He would have been a man, flexing his muscles. And I guess it was not going to end well. And the bottom line was that Isaac was the chosen one. Isaac was the one that was chosen to, I guess, start this Jewish dynasty. Whereas Ishmael, well, he was just the son of an Egyptian maidservant. But what I love is the reaction of Abraham. You know, yes, they were having a feast. Yes, they're having a party. But he was distressed at what was happening to his son. And I guess it gives me hope in humanity that here is a man who has everything, absolutely everything that you could ever want, whether it be sort of material things, whether it be the fact that he's, you know, this promise, which he sort of thought was a promise all the way through, has now really come to fruition, so he can have absolute confidence in this promise. You know, so much, he's got so much, and yet the thing that was really getting to him at this time was the distress of what was happening and not wanting to see Ishmael suffer. And, you know, I sort of thought, well, families come in all shapes and sizes. You know, today families come in all shapes and sizes, probably more so today than over the sort of many of our lifetime. And And I just wanted to sort of, the thing that the Lord was saying to me in this was, let's make sure we don't give up on our children, whatever their story, whatever they've been through, why ever they've been through it, however things have happened to them, let's not give up on the children. Let's be distressed for our children, like Abraham was distressed for Ishmael. And let's follow God's example. You know, he confirmed to Abraham that he should sort of accept that Hagar and Ishmael should move on. You know, but even though they weren't of the chosen line, they weren't of the faith, God confirmed that he would still bless Ishmael. You know, Hagar and Ishmael were desperate. They got to the point where Hagar didn't see any point or purpose or reason in carrying on. But God heard their anguish and gave them hope and gave them a purpose. And I guess just two things I wanted to pull out. One is for us. You know, when we feel helpless and hopeless and not sure what our purpose is, and you know, you can really be in that sort of phase of in the muck and the bullets of life, and you don't know where things are going. Well, let's just take encouragement that God does have a purpose for us. He does have a purpose for you, and he wants to bless you in that purpose. And let's follow God's example in blessing the unloved, irrespective of how or why they get into that position. And I think a few months ago when I was up here, and some of you know that I've been doing some work with an organization called Welcome Churches, which works very much to welcome asylum seekers and refugees into the country, as well as many who have come from Hong Kong and such like over this past year. And I love the way that the church has stepped up to welcome those that have arrived from Afghanistan. You know, we've had 15,000 arrivals from Afghanistan. About 8,000 of those didn't have any connection with the UK at all. They just arrived and they went to a hotel. And the vast, vast majority of them are still in hotels around the country because there is no accommodation available. And, you know, around local churches have been supporting around 40% of those hotels, supporting very practically 40% of the Afghans that are living in those hotels. Many thousands of people have arrived scared, without hope, wondering what their purpose is, are being supported by churches and Christians. And why are they doing that? Because it is the right thing to do. So in the same way as God sort of offered that hope to Ishmael, who's not the main player in the story here, let's just take that encouragement. You know, people from a different culture, a different faith, yet we are called to bless them. I think I probably missed one there. Let's go to the next one. But what about the birth of Isaac? I mean, that's the title of the talk. Well, thankfully, as an adoptive dad, I can say thankfully I've never had to go through that sort of birth phase and all the gore and all that type of things that goes with it. And thankfully, we're not giving too much graphic detail about the birth of Isaac. We're sort of told he arrived on time, exactly at the time when God had said he was going to arrive. I assume there weren't too many complications. In fact, it seems that his birth brought laughter. Isaac means one who laughs. So actually, this is not really about the birth of a child at all. It's about God keeping his promise. God had a plan that was explained previously. And despite some efforts to derail it on the way, it was God's plan. He made it happen. And I guess this is a promise that ultimately starts that journey to the ultimate promise that God made, the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I mean, we're just about to start the season of Advent. And whilst there are many hundreds of years between the birth of Isaac and the birth of Jesus, they're completely linked by God's promises. And you know, we're going to sort of bring this to an end and we're going to move to communion in a minute, but there are so many mysteries, there are so many questions. 950 years old, 100 years old, I don't know, but we can take joy in the knowledge that we are also children of God's promise. In the same way as Isaac was a child of God's promise, we are children of God's promise. And we can come to communion and we can remember and celebrate that journey from Isaac to Jesus. But we can remember that there's no more need for lines of genealogy. There's no more need of trying to make sense of all this stuff, because Jesus has put an end to that work, that sort of this line of promises, if you like, on the cross. God's faithfulness lasts from generation to generation, as John said right at the start of our service. So as we move to communion now, let's just remember that. Let's just remember the joy that we are children of God's promise. In the same way that Isaac was born, promised by God to start this Jewish dynasty, if you like, that Jesus was promised by God to open it up for all of us to come, to be able to say that we are children of God. What a joyful thing. And you know, as we finish and as we end communion, I've asked if we could end with the hymn "And Can It Be," partly because I love the hymn so much, and partly because we can sing together, "No condemnation now we dread, Jesus and all in him is ours, alive in him our living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold we can approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ our own." Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you are a God that blesses, that you're a God that surprises, and Lord, that you're a God that cares. And Lord, ultimately we thank you that as you keep your promises, you have enabled us to become children of your promise, children that can be safe and secure in the knowledge that we have a faith. So Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen.